Your angels are speaking to you. Do you hear them? Welcome to The Calling of Light with author and empathic spiritual tarot reader, Anne-Marie Odell. The Calling of Light offers direct, empathic insight and relatable spiritual topics, interviews with special spiritual guests, and straight talk call-in readings. Kick back and enjoy Freeform Spirit Tea with Anne-Marie, the way you like it best when you want to simplify. Here is your host, Anne-Marie Odell.
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie, and you are listening to The Calling of Light on Om Times Radio. My guest today is Victoria, and she will give us a spiritual quest today. We won't ask you to drink mushroom tea or dance to drums, but just open your mind and share in the spiritual journey of self-awareness. As we discuss consciousness, death and dying, and Victoria's path as a way shower. And I want to add one more thing here for you naysayers or conservatives. It's important to understand that whether you're a minister, a priest, a rabbi, a Native American vision quester, or high priestess, the common goal questions of humanity are, where did I originate? How did I arrive here? And who am I? Solana, what's behind the fear of death?
Aloha, ekamomai, everyone. Hi, Annie. Great to be back. And yes, you're asking me about death? So you're asking me what it is. It's a portal. It's a doorway. And nothing more than that. I think what happens with just listening to that word, you've got this habitual, preconceived vision, impression of what that word is, and it's negative. But really, it's nature. It's part of the cycle. Because if you don't shed the old, how can you make room for the new? Caterpillars do it. You know, snakes do it. We do it. We shed our skins. We can't grow without a part of us dying. You know, so it's part of a natural process. And it's part of evolving to better. And our own lives are the yardstick for it.
So that, what is it? You did great. So what or how do you feel that we originated?
From a spark. From a spark. A spark of energy. A spark of energy that... And walk with me with this one, Annie. A spark of energy that was growing, but wanted to know more, know other, but it only knew itself. And then it decided it would do an experiment, that it would split itself in half. And so this energy did that. And then duality was created. And then there was a separation there that it didn't like, so it came back together, and there's the mitosis. And then there was a new thing, a third thing. So that triune light, it went from one dot to two, and then those two came together and created a third, which was even bigger. So now we've got the makings of creation, the origin of life, and we see it all around us. And the best example of how everything is connected, you can just look at the development of a human embryo from zygote all the way through to birth. And we go through all the changes, all the shapes that energy goes through that we can see it in physics experiments. We can see it in just water waves. Yeah, we are very much a part of nature. And that's why our spark is part of everything. We are part of everything.
So when you question, how did we arrive here, or why did we arrive here, that would also answer that question?
Well, I would think, and this is all just me, guys, but, you know, this is what happens when you meditate and you ask these questions inside yourself, and no holds barred, and the answers you get may surprise you. These are the answers I received. You know,
we were talking candidly. I'm an old hippie. When I say hippie, I'm always amazed by the fact that when I was doing acid back in the old days, we did it as a vision quest. We did it to find ourselves. And I remember that the day that I had the most amazing vision of why I was here and how it all happened, and wrote it down and wrote it down and wrote it down, and the next day could not get any kind of understanding of what I thought I saw. And yet at the time it was so clear that I can imagine that in the moments of death, that's probably kind of like I imagine it to be, where when you're born or when you die, it's that great epiphany that you'd speak of, where no matter whether you have a pen and paper, it would never come close to what it is, right?
Right, right. And so someone asked me, well, what do you think it is, what it's like to die? And I said, I had to think about it. And I came up with an answer. It's not the answer, but it's my answer. And I think it could very much be my eulogy, too.
Oh, okay. I better write this down quick. Oh, no, I've got it on the, I've got it here on Home Times. What is it?
No, it's what we're going to talk about in a second.
Okay.
Here. This is, somebody asked me that question, and this is my answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, each individual creature on this earth, whether it be a worm, whether it be a bacteria cell, whether it be a human, whether it be a animal, our pets, that cat, that dog, that horse, is the human experience the only one that you feel has self-awareness? Because for so many, many, many years, people said, oh, it's an animal. They have no self-awareness. How do you feel about that, a self-awareness?
Any and all living things have consciousness. Every living thing has an energy that has a spark, that has an awareness of its surroundings, of everything in its environment. It has consciousness. So animals have consciousness. Plants have consciousness. Even crystals that are still living in the matrix have a consciousness. Consciousness is energy. And the only difference between all of these levels of consciousness is a vibration. And we have the ability to extrapolate those vibrational energies higher, to higher, you know, emanations. And that's where we've evolved, or I would hope we evolved.
So you feel that all living things have self-awareness?
Yes.
Or is self-awareness something different than just a vibration or spark? Because sometimes I believe self-awareness is the human downfall. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but it also makes the fear of death, the fear of losing the I am, and the fear of so many things, greed, all of the great sins of the world. It also, that self-awareness seems to be something that, combined with intellect, is a vibration and spark that I'm not sure all the times is a positive thing. But
self-awareness to the level that the being is able to have it. So it is a different level of awareness of being, according to which life force we're talking about. So it's different for plants, minerals, animals, and humans. So humans are self-aware to the level that they allow their consciousness to be. So it's all about beingness, too. And here's the problem. We all think we're awake and aware, and yet we do things habitually out of habit. That's not being awake and aware. That's being asleep. So that's our struggle right now. Because if everybody was awake and aware, this world would not be the way it is right now.
Right.
That is
at least I would hope not. I would hope that that's not the awareness we would have. It would be love and peace.
No, we would be in total harmony with everything else.
Right, harmony.
We would not. Yeah, it is about harmony. It's about striking.
Because there could not be an earth or people living on it at all if there were not harmony within all of the steps it took to get everything here. The only thing that somehow went out of harmony was
us,
yeah.
And
so I'm going to
bring on our own stuff.
Yes. I'm hoping we haven't gotten too late to be able to put, I'm going to have Chris play your first meditation.
What happens when we die? Well, speaking for myself. That's the problem. That's the whole problem with the whole thing. That word, self. That's not a word. That's not a right. That isn't. How did I forget that? When did I forget that? The body dies, one cell at a time, while the brain keeps firing those neurons and pineal gland pumps DMT into the body. Little lightning bolts like fireworks inside. And I thought I'd despair, but I don't feel any of that. None of it. Because I'm too busy remembering. Of course, I remember that every atom in my body is forged in a star. This matter, this body is just empty space after all, and solid matter, it's just energy vibrating very slowly, and there is no me. There never was. The electrons of my body begin mingling and dancing with the electrons in the ground below me and into the air. I'm no longer breathing. And I remember there is no point where any of this ends and I begin. I remember I am energy, not memory, not self. My name, my personality, my choices all came after me. I was before them, and I will be after. And everything else is pictures picked up along the way. Fleeting little dreamlets printed on the tissue of my dying brain. I am the lightning that jumps between. I am the energy firing the neurons. And I am returning. Just by remembering, I am returning home. It's like I'm a drop of water falling back into the ocean of which I've always been a part. All things, a part. All of us, a part. You, me, your children and parents, everyone who has ever been, every plant, every animal, every atom, every star, every galaxy, all of it. More galaxies in the universe than grains of sand on the beach. And that's what we're talking about when we say God, the One, the cosmos and its infinite dreams. We are the cosmos dreaming of itself. It's simply a dream that I think is my life, every time. But I forget this. I always do. I always forget my dreams. But now, in this moment, I remember. The instant I remember, I comprehend everything at once. There is no time. There is no death. Life is a dream. It's a wish made again and again and again and again and again and on to eternity. I am all of it. I am everything. I am all. I am that I am. In Lakesh.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hi, my name is Anne-Marie Odell, and thank you for inviting me in for Tarot and Coffee. I offer 37 plus years of accurate, honest tarot channeling. Spirit comes through me as a feeling, an inner knowing. I call it the angel frequency. As you say your first name, I close my eyes and shuffle my well-worn card as I go into a deep calm. By phone, Skype, or Zoom, contact me at thecallingoflight.com.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Them back. Today's guest is Victoria, and she is going to be able to give us a journey into consciousness, self-awareness, death and dying. And today I thought we would start with the question, what is the cage and what makes the cage?
Wow. What makes the cage is our memories, our impressions that we pick up from our friends, our families, and it's really the memory of a person. For example, Annie, you know, our cage defines our perceptions. So say we're dealing with a spouse or a friend or an employer, and you know that on a first impression that person is annoying and you know the way they talk, their mannerisms are annoying, and that's your reaction to them. And so the next time you meet that person, you have that impression, you already have a reaction to that person as projecting annoyance, when maybe that day they aren't at all. And then have you caught yourself saying, wow, they're different today. Why? What's going on? What did they eat for breakfast? When really that was your habit, your conditioned consciousness is what defines your cage. And it's mostly anchored with ego. It could be anything: anger, greed, lust, pride, avarice, whatever. And that's what we have to work on, is to break out of that cage, but it has to be a conscious effort on your part. You have to be aware of that cage. Nobody wants to know that they're imprisoned. And the moment somebody says that, of course, you're going to bristle and say no. And yet, there are things that you do and continue to do, and you're not conscientious of it or conscious of it. And the best proof of that is, say you're on your way out the door, morning, it's a typical work day, but now you can't find your keys. Where are they? And you think, well, I usually drop them here, and they're not there. That's what I'm talking about, is in those moments, you lose track of the now, and you need to be in the now to get out of the cage. Yeah. And it's work. It's work. But if you put the effort in to be aware by meditating and putting your focus in the now, not in the past, not in the future, because nobody's been in the future, so how can you talk about the future if you've not been there yet? Well, it has to be now. Yes. And it seems to be a hard thing for a lot of people to embrace still, to stay in the moment. All of this talk about dying, hey, we do that now. What about awakening to life? What about that? That's what I really want to talk about today, awakening us all to life. So let's hear that for a couple minutes and let's ponder those thoughts for a moment.
What I want to encourage for you as the listener is to learn now how to listen, to actually listen, as if for the first time you're hearing what this teaching is. I'm asking you to listen with your soul, with your being. In this teaching, we talk about the being. You'll always hear this word, the being, the innermost. Sometimes we say spirit, and this is another one of those terms that we take for granted and fail to truly comprehend what it means. To listen with your being, with your consciousness, means that you have an open mind, a mind that isn't clouded, that isn't comparing, isn't stressed, excited, fearful, and anxious, but rather serene, open, and receptive, calm, and capable of learning something new. These teachings are a path to life, to living, l'chaim, to life, which is that famous greeting or cheer from the Jewish tradition. That phrase is very meaningful because that idea or concept, to life, is the basis of all the scriptures in Judeo-Christian tradition. It's about discovering and entering the path to life, to living. It also implies that we are not yet living. And this is a profound truth. If we're to realize that truth, we wouldn't live how we are living right now. And the problem that we have is that we already think that we're living. We think we're already being when we're not. We have what we call in this tradition a conditioned consciousness, what in scripture is called a state of sleep. That's right, sleep. And this is why throughout the scriptures we find this call made by the masters to awaken the soul, to be alert. That awakening isn't a theory. It's not a concept. It's not philosophical or a matter of debate. It's something that one experiences, not in the past and not in the future, but right now. To be awake is to be conscious of this moment, of everything that one can perceive, to the limits of that perception, and to push against those limits, to expand them. And stated simply, this is the purpose of all religions, to expand the consciousness, to awaken it, to bring it out of the dust of the earth so that it can rise back to where it belongs, which is with divinity, with purity, and the absolute. It's at this point that many students and devotees of different religions become confused, because we already have this state of being that's clouded, confused, believing that it's already awake, believing that it's alive and being. But really, we don't understand what true being is, what true living is, to be awake, to be alive. Yet I think for most people, if we open our minds and try to remember that sensation of being awake, we can probably find some moments in our lives when we truly felt alive. Moments that we couldn't characterize or couldn't explain to anyone, but were moments in which we felt and truly experienced that life isn't the way that we normally experience it. That truly, we are normally in a dreamy, sleepy state. And at certain moments of our experience, because of the way the light was coming through the trees, or because we've had a strong shock of some kind, that suddenly our senses become fully aware, very bright, very clear, and we perceived things in ways that we never perceived them before. And suddenly the experience was gone just as fast as it arrived, and that type of insight can be provoked. It can be stimulated, it can be grown, it can be expanded, and that's why you must study meditation. It is the science of meditation that facilitates the expansion of that kind of experience. Because what we are describing here in synthesis is the state of our consciousness. It is asleep, but can awaken. Our current state of sleep isn't permanent, and moreover, it is the same for everyone. Every living thing has consciousness in its level and experiences being according to its condition. So we as scientists of life study a child, observe it, and see that the child is living in the moment, truly astonished at things that we adults don't even see, things that we don't even think have any meaning at all. A child sees a cup, a box, a rock, a stick, and for that child, that thing is amazing. A child sees a bug, a bubble, a cloud, and the child is struck with astonishment and has a beautiful smile as that being reflects in itself the beauty of nature. But when we become older, we lose that. We don't see it anymore. It's still there, but we don't see it because we're not looking in the same way. We don't hear. We don't listen in the same way. We don't even read the same way. We don't truly perceive what we are perceiving. The perceptions that flow in to us constantly, instead of being received by the consciousness, by our soul, and experienced in their fullness, instead, those perceptions become lost in the chaos of clouded mind. Our memories, by our past and everything that we see and hear and read and think and feel. We don't really see where we are. We don't really see who we are talking to or hear the words they are saying. We only perceive how those sensations are translated by our mind. And we do this all day, every day. Whatever we're doing in the course of our daily lives, we are in a constant process of simply translating impressions in accordance with pre-existing concepts. We don't see the tree. We don't see the car. We don't see our roommate or our spouse. We only see their mirrored reflections of our mind. We have a stored concept of that person as irritable, annoying. And whenever we encounter that person, we are encountering our concept of them, not their reality. We don't even really see the person because they may not be that way that day. But still, we are perceiving them according to our memory. And this is a very profound mechanism that is modifying our every perception. And this is why we are in the state we are in now. It's why this planet is in a state of decay, why society is crumbling, because none of us see each other. None of us feel each other. And we're all in each our own worlds pursuing our own psychological desires. Then sadly, we then approach teachings like this, and being unskilled in seeing clearly, we take these teachings and add them to our cage.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions. But they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and I'm Anne Marie, and you are listening to The Calling of Light with Victoria. I always want to say La Nikila. How do you say your name now?
Annie, you've known me long enough. You can call me either. For everyone who meets me in these times, most everyone will call me Lana. If the
All right.
people that have known me for 20 years, which we're almost there, you can call me Victoria also.
Okay, well, I call you Lana also, but
I didn't want to call you without your proper professional name. I do want to ask kind of like a recap of what we spoke on. You spoke on the self-analysis of one's
yes.
life.
Yes.
What can you say about that?
Well, if you want to change, then you've got to live those changes. And that's very difficult. And it requires that you transform how you perceive things, looking at things differently. So ask yourselves, are you discontented? Are you unhappy? Are you unfulfilled? And then look at why that is. Why is it in you? What is it in you that wants something? And what is that want? And who wants it? And why? And does it really have any importance, spiritually speaking? Because what I'm showing you is that consciousness is not a fixed thing. It's not a permanent state. It's constantly changing because it's infinite. And so what is consciousness, Annie? It's the ability to be alive, to perceive. And we know that's true for us because we're somewhat self-aware. And we developed that term, the concept, and the dictionary that explains it.
Explain to me your journey as the person that is there in the last moments of breath.
The person that's here. Oh, God, I don't know, Annie. There's so much I can answer to that. Right now, this person that you're talking to is on a magnificent journey. I'm just answering my calling. I do ascribe as a way shower. It's better than just saying, you know, I'm a this or I'm a that. I'm a signpost. I'm a way station. If you are looking for directions, I'm a compass to show you the pathway toward the light. And then you make the choice if you want to walk in that direction. And if you do, I have many tools that I can share that you might find most useful in your own personal search of finding out who you are. That's your magnum opus.
So are you also somebody that helps people to cross Rainbow Bridge?
Yes, I am. I do have shamanic roots as a hereditary shaman in the Philippine tradition. I'm also a professional ceremonial magician and now the head of my magical order. So healing is my kin, my first and foremost go-to. And I can also mentor people, teach people about ways of being in the light, and I can also initiate you into the light. So,
an initiation into the light would be what?
An initiation into the light could be very many things. With me, it could be anywhere from learning the spirit of aloha to learning ceremonial magic. It's really up to the inquirer. And it is that reigns with me. I teach a lot of things.
And when we speak on magic, we're not speaking on Harry Potter. We're talking on a different form of, a different interpretation of magic, correct?
Yes, we are. We are, because it is the art and science of manifesting your will into reality. So we're talking about who you are. Do you know who you are? Do you love yourself? Do you believe in yourself? Because if you do, then everything your heart looks to, you will create. That is, and that's a blend of aloha.
So you would
and,
say, you would say manifesting is a form of magic then?
Yes. Manifesting is the ability to create
Got it.
And we all have it. We all have that ability, Annie. We just have to focus and use the right.
And believe we do. We believe
yes,
we do. There are those, but what do you say to people who oftentimes have a specific, I often get calls from people that say, I have been spending day and night praying and manifesting that Harry is going to love me. I personally see that we have to be cautious about what it is that we are trying to manifest. Am I right on that or not?
Oh, yeah. Well, because here it is. We're talking about awakening the consciousness to life, right? Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness can't be awakened by any physical mechanism. It can't be awakened forcibly by any mechanical tool of any kind. And then the other thing about it is that, well, of course, well, before I go on, that means you can't just go to the internet or in the store, buy some device that lights up and tells you, hey, you're awake. You know, I mean, it's a joke, but that's really what it is. And then the other thing is that it also means that no physically repeated pattern can awaken consciousness. You feel me, people? Prayer, and only prayer without more, will not help. Mantra will not awaken your consciousness. And you know what? That's difficult for a lot of people to accept.
Well, explain that to me.
Okay, well, many people believe that if I do this mantra 100,000 times, my soul's going to be liberated and I'm awake. But that's a fallacy. And, you know, it's not true because, look, many people think that if I go to this school, this group, do this ritual, give this amount of money to this person, I'm going to get my astral body and I'm going to get my kundalini going and I'm going to awaken and I'm going to become an angel. Now listen, it's I. That's an ego.
Too much I.
Those are lies.
Too much I.
Yeah, there's too much I.
But your manifest, but the idea of manifesting is often based on the I, isn't it? I mean, if the I didn't want it, they wouldn't be manifesting it.
But there's the rub. It's the wrong I.
The wrong I. Okay, tell me what the right I is. Come on now. What's the right I?
The right eye will show you the light, the righteous way, which really doesn't have a choice. You know it in your heart. You know it in your gut. When you choose other, it's because you want to be bad. You just want to do that. You want to go off the path because you're bored. That's really what happens, you know. And so you have to think for yourself, you know, where are you? Who are you? And that's what makes the work difficult. And a lot of people have a hard time being honest with themselves because they can't look at themselves in the eye. So here's my exercise, Annie. Next time you meditate, don't close your eyes and have a mirror in front of you. And I want you to look into your own eyes. And I want you to see. Be honest with yourself. Who are you? And then all those questions will have answers. And they're going to come from the greatest place within you. That's where they should come from.
So, but I'm also remembered listening to your previous meditation that speaks on the filters we all have. Maybe you didn't say that word, but we all see through a specific filter that judges or that perceives that person that's a nuisance and we never give it a chance, or that situation we've already surmised as what we want without necessarily asking ourselves, really, as life goes on in the different stages, is a humongous 20,000, or that's nothing, $120 million house, really what we want. You know, I mean, there begins to be dreams. There begins to be rock star posters on our cerebral wall that become outdated. But we get stuck into the pattern of saying, I want, I'm manifesting without really common sense, would you say?
Yes. And that is the problem. And we really have to come to grips with our ego. Our ego is important for the body to continue, but it's not the one calling the shot. It should not be.
Okay. Well, we need to be going here, and I just want you to know I love you, and thank you, everybody, and thank you, Lana, for being with me today.
Glad to be
back. I know that, yes, I'm afraid that I don't have some of my mechanisms for being able to, okay, we have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to have you tell me what your website is and how people can reach you.
Everyone, I would love it if you would visit me at spreadaloha.net. That is the home for Halau Ahahui Lanikila, my home school. You can also check us out online at the Temple of Horus Bidetti at Horus Bidet, H-O-R-U-S.
But could you say that again, the Horse of Spaghetti?
Yeah, Horus Bidet. And it's
a Horse
temple.
Spaghetti.
Horus Bidetti. Yes, it's funny. It sounds like a bowl of spaghetti, but it's not. it is our magical school. That is at Horus, HorusBehdet.com. And then there's one more place, but I'll save that for the next time we talk, Annie.
Yes. And hopefully my internet will not close down on me.
Everybody,
thank you for being a master teacher and for taking over when I dysfunction. And I will be back again next week. No, not next week, not the last week, but starting the first week of August. Can you believe it's almost August?
I can't believe this year is almost over. Wow.
I know.
Oh.
Well, I want to send blessings and light to everybody. And again, remember, we have to work on Lana's teachings today and know that what would your last words be, my love?
O Kamala Maluhia Ome Oe. Hey, peace be with you all. I love you. Aloha.
Sounds good.